One of the things that I've been challenged with in my life is sin. Anybody else struggle with sin? Good. I'm glad I'm not alone this morning. One of the areas that I struggle most with is accepting God's forgiveness for sin when I sin. So the message this morning, I'm going to talk a little bit about forgiveness, but I'm going to start with a story, and I need to give a little bit of a disclaimer as I think more and more about this story. Some of you may find this a little bit disgusting. Some of you will find it questionable, maybe. But it's a story of my life, a story that happened that illustrates, I believe, our struggle and why it happens. When I was 16 years old, my older brother talked me into working the afternoon milking at the dairy where he worked. This would allow him to participate in some after-school activities and give me a little bit of money. My job was to put the cows in a stanchion for milking, clean them, and release them after they were milked. As some of you might be aware, cows can have a mind of their own. Dairies generally require fairly casual dress, as cows are not impressed by what we wear. My typical work attire was an old pair of jeans, a t-shirt, a well-worn Levi jacket, a pair of bibbed rain pants, and black knee-high pull-on black rubber boots. I was pretty attractive. The head milker had warned me of a specific cow that did not like to be milked. We called her the runner. If she entered the milking parlor and the exit door was opened, she would run through the parlor and immediately out the door. I had been very careful for several weeks to keep the exit door closed, except when letting cows out of the milking parlor, and I always kept an eye out for the runner. On this particular evening, things were going well until, for some reason, the exit door was opened when the runner entered the parlor. I quickly positioned myself between her and the door, hoping to discourage her from running. I was relieved when she started toward an open stanchion. Maybe she isn't going to run. Unfortunately, she turned her head, spotted the open door, and quickly took off toward the exit. I was in front of her, hoping maybe I could get to the door and get it closed enough to block her exit before she got there. Cows are quicker than you think. I beat her to the door, but was unable to get the door closed before she forced her way past me and out the door. She got past me. So the chase is on. I had to catch this stubborn, determined, uncooperative beast of an animal. I chased her around the feedlot, past the feeding troughs, up one side of the loafing shed, back down the other side of the loafing shed, past the holding corral, back into the feeding lot, past the milking parlor exit door. She was now headed for the end of the cement slab that ran between the milking parlor and the manure pit. Just off the end of this slab was a marshy area about 7 or 8 feet wide that extended from just behind the manure pit to just past the edge of the milking barn. Within this area were several clumps of grass, 2 to 4 feet in diameter. Just past the marshy area was an open pasture. That was her destination. As she headed toward this area, I thought, if she gets across that, I'm going to be chasing her for some time. This cow is not going to beat me. At the edge of the marshy area, she jumped, landed on one clump of grass, then another, and she was off into the pasture. Being young, I didn't recognize what I was approaching. So I followed the cow almost exactly in her path. The cow had made it across, so can I. As I approached the edge of the marshy area, I set my eyes on the clump of grass the cow had landed on. I jumped, landing with one foot on the grass, prepared to leap to the next clump of grass about 3 feet in front of me, when I noticed things weren't going as I thought. Instead of jumping, I was slowly sinking. The area I had jumped into was filled with many years of manure that had been scraped, pushed, or just run off the edge of the manure pit and the cement slab. When I stopped sinking, I was up to my armpits in stinky, gritty, disgusting, watery manure about the consistency of porridge. I was standing as tall as I could on my tiptoes with my arms straight out on either side. The cow had got away, and I was stuck in the manure. There was nothing I could do. If I stepped forward, I sank deeper. My boots were filling, my rain pants were filling, and it was sticking to me. I couldn't pull myself up, I couldn't push myself forward, I couldn't, there was nothing I could do but call for help, which I did. Drowning was not a pleasant thought, especially drowning in manure. Now, I don't know whether the milker heard my cry for help or just stepped out to see how I was doing in getting this cow back into the parlor. In any case, he showed up to find me in my situation. And after a very good, long, hearty laugh, he gained his composure enough to get a tractor and a rope and rescue me. Trust me, when I got out of the pit, nobody, not even dairymen, wanted to be near me. I realized three things while stuck in that mire. Number one, I couldn't get out of this on my own. Someone else would have to rescue me. Number two, when I called for help, rescue was eventually offered. And number three, once rescue was offered, I had a choice of whether or not to accept it. Now, that doesn't seem like much of a choice, but actually it is a choice. And we find ourselves in those situations. In life, we may find ourselves getting mired down in all kinds of sin. Anger, unforgiveness, resentment, selfishness, complacency, self-righteousness, greed, jealousy, gossip, and the list could go on and on and on. When sin traps us, what do we do? How do we get out? Who do we call for help? Now, as I look around the auditorium here, most of us have accepted the facts that there is no one righteous, not even one of us. We have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And we recognize that we are rescued or saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is God's gift. We're what you call believers. Even though we have accepted God's gift through faith, we still, however, find ourselves struggling with sin. At times, even engulfed in it, up to our armpits. I'd like to share three things this morning that God wants us to do when we find ourselves stuck in the mire, in the manure of sin. Number one, recognize we need God's help. He's there, and He wants to forgive us. He wants to purify us. He wants to make us right. Number two, confess our sin to God, knowing that He hears us and responds by forgiving us and cleaning us up. Number three, accept God's complete forgiveness. God never partially forgives. Isn't that a cool thought? He always completely forgives. Unfortunately, sin is going to plague us. We are going to, despite our efforts, find ourselves sinning. The Apostle Paul put his struggle with sin this way. I always like this. It's confusing, but I love the way he says it. For what I do is not the good I want to do. Nope. The evil I do not want to do, that is what I keep on doing. Romans chapter 7. Our comfort is that God has declared His willingness to forgive, to rescue, and to clean us up. We need to remember there is a standing offer from God for Him to come to our rescue. It's a verse we quote all the time. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just, and never leave this word out, will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Very simply stated, when we admit we have done wrong to God, He's going to forgive us. When we go to Him and say, yep, I did it, He's going to forgive us. It's a pretty cool promise. When I was stuck in that pit on the dairy, I wasn't sure if or how I was going to be rescued, but I knew I needed to be rescued. Even when someone arrived, I wasn't sure what they were going to do. They actually found my situation pretty funny, but they weren't the one in the pit. Isn't it comforting that God knows we're going to sin? That He takes our situation seriously and is ready to come to our rescue when we confess? As believers, we have a promise that when we confess our sin to God, He will forgive us, pull us out of the pit, and clean us up. I don't know about you, but that brings me a lot of comfort when I go to God and say, I did it. Confession, admitting our wrong, is the access to the lifeline of God's forgiveness. Let me say that again. Confession, admitting our wrong, is the lifeline, is the access to the lifeline of God's forgiveness. Confession is our call for help. When King David, now we need to recognize who King David was because it really relates to us as believers. King David, a man after God's own heart, a man specifically selected by God to be king, a man who loved God and wanted to do what God wanted him to do, got mired down in sin. And when he recognized that, this was his confession, his call to God for forgiveness. Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquities and cleanse me for sin, for I know my transgression. My sin is always before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Now, I don't think there's any magic formula to confession, but David gives us an example of what confession might look like. First, he asks God to remove his transgression and cleanse him because of God's mercy and unfailing love. Please note, he doesn't say, God, you have to forgive me. He doesn't say, God, I deserve your forgiveness. He says, God, forgive me because you are God, because of your unfailing love. Second, he admits his wrong without making excuse. He acknowledges his sinful nature and that he knew what he did was wrong. God, you desired faithfulness. You taught me wisdom. It wasn't the cow who led me astray on a bad path. It wasn't my brother's fault because he's the one that got me the job. David said, it's my fault. I did it. I was wrong. Third, he asked God to clean him up and change him, to create in him a pure heart, a heart that wants to do what God wants him to do. When I was drug out of that pit, nobody wanted to be around me. Most of us, when we're stuck down in sin, a lot of people don't want to be around us because we're just as miserable. We need to be cleaned up. David said, God, clean me up. Put a pure heart within me. And fourth, he asked God to restore the joy of God's salvation. He says, God, restore to me the joy of your salvation. David didn't even claim his own salvation. He gave it to God because who saves us? He acknowledges that his salvation is of God. Now, confession can be difficult because it means we must admit that we did something wrong. I don't know about anybody else here. I really don't like admitting I'm wrong. But that's what confession is. Admitting we were wrong or have sinned can be difficult. But the process of confession really isn't. I did it. Clean me up. Make me right. Recognize God for who he is. Admit our wrong. Ask God to change us and restore our relationship. Pretty quick, pretty simple. When we do this, what's God's promise? What? He's going to forgive us and cleanse us. That's his promise. He's going to forgive us and cleanse us when we confess, when we say, God, I did it. You're right. Clean me up. The question is whether we will accept his forgiveness. For me, the most difficult part of forgiveness is accepting that I am forgiven. Accepting forgiveness may be difficult for several reasons. A lot of reasons in our lives that it might be difficult to accept someone's forgiveness. Number one, Satan doesn't want us to experience the peace that forgiveness brings. So he will do whatever he can to have us question our forgiveness. All of those questions about, did God really forgive you? What's God's promise? I will. Are you sure God will? Well, sure doesn't feel like he did. Did he? He did. He promised he would, he will. Or we might think that when we accepted Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for our sin and we became a believer, that we should no longer sin. I'm a follower of Jesus. Sin should no longer be an issue, should it? So if I'm a follower of Jesus, how come I keep sinning? Because I'm a sinner. Jesus forgives me, but he doesn't take away the fact that I'm a sinner, so I'm going to continue to sin, so I harshly judge myself because I do what I'm naturally going to do, and then I ask God forgiveness, and anyways. It becomes one of those things. Satan, ourselves, maybe we find ourselves repeatedly stuck in the same sin. I keep doing this. God, how many times are you going to forgive me? This seems like it's the 3 billionth time I've done this. Are you going to continue to forgive me? What do I have to do? I have to back up to God's promise. I need to 1 John 1:9 it. And I need to say, God, I know you will forgive me. Thank you for forgiving me. I'm sorry I keep doing this. Help me with this. Maybe I go to my pastor and say, Matt, I'm fighting with this sin. I keep falling into this over and over again. Can you help me out? Maybe I go to another elder. I go to Isaac or Dennis. And I say, dudes, I need your help. I've got this sin that keeps beating me up. I keep getting stuck and I need to be pulled out of that pit. Maybe I go to somebody who has had that same issue and say, hey, let's work together on this. Let's hold each other accountable. There's all kinds of ways that I can work through that. Maybe the reason we have a difficult time accepting forgiveness is because we have had people tell us that they forgive us. and then they throw it back in our face later. Do you remember when you said, how can I ever believe what you're going to say? You remember when you did this to me? So we question forgiveness because of our own experience. Another reason. Maybe we have told people we forgive them, but really didn't. If I can't forgive someone, how can someone forgive me? I said I forgive you just to get you off my back, just to get you away from me. There are all kinds of reasons we might struggle with accepting forgiveness. But the awesome thing to me is I can come back to God and God said, I will forgive you when you come to me and honestly confess. Though we may struggle with accepting forgiveness, if we turn back to 1 John 1:9, we see clearly God's promise to forgive and purify us. Purify us. That means we're going to be completely clean. He's not going to wash it off the outside. He's going to wash it off. It's going to be all gone. Psalm 103 in verse 13 declares, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Has anybody here ever tried to travel east until they go west? Isn't it kind of funny? God could have said, as far as the north is from the south, I'm going to remove your sins from you. The problem with that is when you get to the North Pole, what direction do you go? When you get to the South Pole, what direction do you go? I don't know anybody that can travel east far enough to go west. You just keep going. Who's the us the psalmist is talking about there? If you read before that, it says, those who love God, those who are his followers, so far has he removed our sin from us. But there's even a greater reason that we can trust God at his word. Think deeply about what Jesus did on the cross for all of us, for all of us who have accepted him as our Lord and Savior. Think about what he did for us. If it were not for the cross, we would be forever burdened with the condemnation of sin. There would be no forgiveness. But because of the cross, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now some condemnation. No condemnation. How much is none? One of our former pastors, Jerry Fidler, used to say that none is a zero with the rim knocked off. And I always loved that picture. None is none. It's nothing. There is no condemnation. If this promise is true for salvation, doesn't it make sense that it would be true for sin committed and confessed after we're saved? Is it possible that there can be no condemnation for those who initially trust Jesus as their Savior, and that those who sin after salvation not be forgiven? I don't think so. I don't think that's a possibility. When we confess our sin, God is faithful and just. He will forgive. He will purify us. The Bible says it. It's a fact. Are we willing to accept it? Again, I don't know about most of you, but I know that one of my most difficult things in my life as a believer is accepting God's forgiveness for the things I continually do wrong. I need to back up to His promise and accept it. In life as a follower of Jesus, I have found myself at many different levels of entanglement in sin. Sometimes it's a thought or a response which I recognize as being sinful, and it is confessed before I get stuck. I just get a little mud on my boots. But there have been times when sin has got a pretty strong hold on me. You see, like David, I am a sinner who has been saved by grace, but I still sin. The sin I struggle with may not be what we refer to as a really bad sin, but any sin is harmful to my relationship with God and with others. There have been times when, even after confessing, asking God's forgiveness, I have continued to beat myself up, to question whether I'm forgiven. Based on what the Bible says, we all know, and we need to remember, first, God wants to help us when we sin. He wants to forgive and purify us. Number two, when we confess our sin, God hears us and responds by forgiving and cleaning us up. And number three, when we ask, God completely forgives. Next time you ask God's forgiveness and you get this little voice in the back of your head that says, He didn't forgive you, you can know that's not the voice of God. Because God says, I did forgive you. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you are a loving, just, merciful, and forgiving God. Thank you for your word that tells us about you and instructs us in righteous living. Thank you for providing life and the forgiveness of sin through the cross of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who reminds us of the things you, through your word, have taught us. We pray that we would desire to walk in your ways. Thank you that you want to forgive and purify us when we sin. We pray that when we stray into sin, you would convict us and that we would confess our sin and accept your forgiveness. Amen.